the new Light 104.7 and 1570 AM WVTL.
We welcome Carl Paladino to the program, candidate for governor running in the Republican primary next week. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. Fine.
Yeah, good to have you with us. And we've got a lot to talk about. One of the questions I want to hit you with is the one that we hit Rick Lazio with. I had an email yesterday from a political watcher down in the Albany area saying, you're going to have these guys on, Bob. You've got to pin them down. What are they going to do? How are they going to cut spending when they get into office? How about you?
Well, I think many New Yorkers have become conditioned to think that the budget-making process is what we've been watching for the past couple of decades. In other words, three men in a room. Which is now relegated to, by the way, one man in a room. That is not what the Constitution says. The Constitution says that on February 1, I will give my budget to the legislature. They then have 60 days to ponder that budget, and they're required to give the budget back by March 31st. During that pondering period, if they want to meet, I will meet with them. If they want to have three men in a room, I will meet with them. But I'll have the entire press corps with me. And it's going to be an open, transparent, and informative debate that I'm going to require of them on the issues.
Yeah, but hasn't that, we tried that? I mean, didn't they start having open meetings? It just becomes more grandstanding.
Well, they can do all the grandstanding they want. I'm going to convene them every day so that we get more than a day and a half a week out of them. And we're going to make sure that they have every opportunity to ponder that budget, because when March 31st comes and they're not finished, the government will shut down. I'm going to warn them of that early. I'm going to tell them that except for police and public safety and health, the government will shut down, and it'll be on their backs, and they'll have to answer to their constituents.
Sounds almost like the Elliot Spitzer steamroller approach, except you plan to be at the helm of the steamroller longer than he was, I guess.
Well, I don't know about Elliot. I know about Carl, and I know that it's the people in this state want a cultural change, and we're not going to Albany to tweak things up. We're going there to change things around dramatically so that we have a government responsive to the people. Our budget this year for 19 million people was $137 billion. Florida's budget for 18.2 million people was $76 billion. You tell me. You do the math.
Now, in terms of cutting specifics, I don't believe you've mentioned any yet, but I do know you've got plans. In fact, the other day you put out a news release saying you want to cut $20 billion, wasn't it, from Medicaid?
Yes, sir. Right now our Medicaid is twice that of the next highest state, California, per capita. Why? Why have we gotten so far away from reality? Why do we offer the most generous Medicaid benefits in America? And social welfare benefits, and why are we so attractive to every poor, disenfranchised person in America? That's our problem. Okay, we're inviting all the poor to come here, and we're losing our vibrant youth because of the tax burdens put on our people. The Medicaid spending, this wild spending, and this waste, fraud, and abuse will come to an end. In Chemung County, the county executive successfully developed a computer program which would highlight waste, fraud, and abuse. He cut the county taxes in Chemung County by 42% over the period of 6 years. He brought the computer program to Albany. He says, this is what you people should have on the Medicaid system. And they said, oh my gosh, that would be awesome. We're going to be in touch with you. That was 7 months ago. Nobody's called them. Not interested in reform.
What about pay and pensions for state workers?
Well, it's all coming to an end. You just can't bleed any more blood out of the stone. I mean, after a while, you come to a recognition that, okay, well, I've had my day. I'm going to take what I have. And that's what we're going to expect of our state employees. We're going to cap everything they have right now, that we're going to cap it. We're going to cap that pension. We're going to end it as it is, as a defined benefits program. We're going to do a defined contribution program, similar to a 401k for the future. And we're going to expect our union leaders to take it. Of course, you know what the answer is going to be. It's not going to be simple. We're going to have to take them head on.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the people make take a good look at it, because all of the discussions are going to be very transparent.
Now,
there's no transparency to the effort. We're going to depend upon that the people, okay, to make sure that this this agenda is adopted in Albany.
Your Republican opponent, Rick Lazio, outlined kind of similar goals, you know, in some of these areas, Medicaid, pay, pensions, and so on and so forth, and says his experience in government makes him better able to accomplish things. Why are you better than Rick Lazio?
Well, you tell me. What's his experience? Four terms as a congressman in Washington, that dysfunctional national capital of ours, in a Congress that is totally dysfunctional. And what did he do there? Did he ever have to make a payroll? Did he ever sign a paycheck? What experience in management does he bring? And after that, he went to work in the back room for Chase Morgan as a lobbyist. Well, tell me what experience that brings. You know, when I'm asked that question, I say, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing this for 37 years. Yes, I have 37 years of building a company from scratch. I have 450 employees today, and we manage, develop, and lease approximately $500 million worth of property that we've developed over that period of time. Yes, I've made budgets. I've made payrolls. I've signed paychecks. I understand the debilitating over-restriction by government. I understand how to deal with the people there. I've been a negotiator. I've been a deal maker.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what he would say, or what I've seen with other people with similar experiences who have come into, you know, work in state government with an experience in business, state government's kind of a different creature.
Well, it is a creature, that's for sure. Yeah. It's different. Basics are all the same.
Carl Paladino, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Carl Paladino with us for a few more minutes. If you have a question, 684-0123. As long as I got the mic. You were up in... one of our areas yesterday, Fulton County. I see the mayor of Gloversville, independent Dayton King, says he'll vote for you. Here in Amsterdam, Alderman Bill Wills, a Democrat, says he'll vote for you.
Yes, it's like that every place we go. We've been all over the state, from Ripley to Plattsburgh to the far ends of Southampton, and our message rings. It just rings with the people. We're not going to cap spending, we're going to cut spending. We're not going to cap taxes, we're going to cut taxes. We're not going to deal with this lack of focus on jobs. We're going to create jobs, both skilled and unskilled. How are we going to create them? We're going to create the jobs by lowering the taxes, cutting the state spending, cutting the state regulation on our businesses. We're going to give our businesses tax credits for expanding their facilities to retain jobs and to create new jobs. We're going to help our farms. We're going to help them expand their facilities rather than over-regulating them with a lot of nonsense and putting our farmers out of business. We're going to do things in creating jobs for the unskilled, similar to what I announced in our Dignity Corps last week. That Dignity Corps is designed around FDR's Civilian Conservation Corps. It's meant to give people an opportunity to have a fulfilling life, to have some self-esteem, to go to work every day, or to go get educated. Those on the welfare rolls who are able-bodied and not exempt for one reason or another will be required to go and earn their check. They will have to either go into an education program or a work program. Work programs might be in the urban centers. They might be in the rural areas. It might be a forestry-type program. They might be working in a factory for recovery of materials in garbage. Whatever it might be, they will be given a path and hopefully attracted back into our society. Okay, by given a path to a fulfilling life. The Dignity Corps is designed to help those in need. And some people, like on welfare or unemployment, would be required to enter it. Others could enter it voluntarily. The program you choose is at your own choice. Mm-hmm. It's voluntary. For those living, for instance, or working in the rural areas on our forestry programs, yes, we would provide facilities.
Okay, another question I think for Carl Paladino. I just want to check the phone to be sure. You have a question for Carl, or is this...
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Hageman.
Mr. Paladino, Are you going to call any agencies in New York State?
Yes, ma'am. I can name a few of them to you right away. These we've already researched. The Adirondack Park Agency, which is $35 million a year, will be gone. The Lower Manhattan Development Corporation, $55 million a year, will be gone. The Division of Housing and Community Renewal, $903 million a year, gone. Why? Because they really don't have a purpose in the 21st century. DCAHR, the housing agency, is there to take care of the political buddies of politicians and give them freebies and let them overcharge the state to build housing for the poorer elements.
I thank you, Carl Palladino. We're running short on time. I just want to give him one other question about you as a personality. It's been fascinating doing a little bit of research about you. I read this blog that some New York City reporter wrote about you. Number one, that when your wife first met you, she threw a beer at you, but you've been married now for 40 years, and that you wear silly bands, and that you're the man I've been dealing with on the emails, Mike Caputo, he used to live on a boat or something like that. You've put together kind of an unusual core running for office.
Yeah, I've got a tremendous team. They're all very good at what they do. Everyone has their little eccentricities, but yes, I wear silly bands. My 10-year-old daughter says that's the thing right now, and I have to wear them to be cool. And I also wear a couple of bands that she made for me meant as reminders of things like her.
Now, again, I would say that your opponent's camp would say, look, Carl Palladino is the candidate that Andrew Cuomo wants to run against because you'll say outlandish things and alienate people.
Well, I don't think I say outlandish things. I think I say what people are thinking, and they don't want to say. They're intimidated. There's no grounding. People are not grounded today. They can't trust Washington. They can't trust Albany. They can't advise their kids. They can't rely upon a government that is changes its mind every other day on how it's going to run the government in the future. They can't rely upon that government to not drive all the jobs out of the state of New York. They're fed up with it. You can call it what you may, and the other people in the press they want to call it that, you know, I may be off the page a little bit in how I approach these things, but I'm approaching them from a truthful perspective, and that's what the people want to hear. They want to hear truth, and they want to see somebody behind that truth who's going to manifest a government that is true to the people, and only the people of New York State. They don't want to be paying for every Tom, Dick, and Harry from somewhere else.
All right. Carl Palladino, I thank you very much for joining us, candidate for governor. Have a good day.
Thank you, bye.
You bet.
Thank you.
Take care.